Hey, everybody. War. What is it good for? Well, honestly, profits. We go back into the history books to find out how Trump picked a fight and declared war on the warmongers. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and become a member. Go to charliekirk.com and click on the members tab. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. I must have missed the Congressional War Authorization. I know I'm busy, you're busy. Did anyone see the vote in the House of Representatives or the Senate where everyone lined up? We did a roll call vote, yes or no, that we should declare war in Yemen? Must have missed that. Well, last evening, we decided to enact drone strikes in Yemen. So for those of you that may not be aware, Yemen is on the southern tip of the Arabian Peninsula. It borders Oman and Saudi Arabia. And for the last 8 to 10 years, last decade, there has been this civil war that has been unfolding. Now, how this impacts American national security is quite a stretch. It is quite a stretch how this impacts our national security. We're being invaded, 15,000 people a day on our southern border, and we get drone strikes in Yemen. Now, maybe we could get drones over our southern border. I'm not saying we need drone strikes over the southern border. Well, the cartel should be striked. But can we get drones over our southern border, finding out who is coming across the border, where they're coming from? No. Like all things Washington, D.C., and all things neoliberal, what happens abroad is the priority. What happens domestic is ignored. So we're getting into the latest intervention into now another perpetual quagmire in the Middle East. We launched airstrikes against the Houthis, a radical Islamic military group that controls a large amount of the country of Yemen. Now, let me just press pause. Who are the Houthis? How many of you in the audience have neighbors, friends, family members that have died because of the Houthis? Anybody? The United Kingdom collaborated in these strikes. Overall, more than 60 targets were hit all over Western Yemen using more than 100 missiles. The justification for these strikes is that they are a self-defense in response to repeated Houthi attacks on shipping in the Red Sea area. Along with the strikes, the U.S. has imposed the new waves of sanctions on companies that we claim indirectly financially support the Houthis. For background, Houthis are a tribe in northern Yemen that is associated with the Shiite Islamic religious movement. The Houthis have been fighting a civil war in Yemen for the last 10 years. They control about half the country, and they actually control the country's capital. The Houthis are sponsored by Iran, and they're opposed most strongly by Saudi Arabia, which has been fighting a war in Yemen for years now. It's another less famous of the Middle East's forever wars. The U.S. has supported the Saudi war effort in 2019. Congress voted to cut off that support after Saudis killed Jamal Khashoggi. But Trump vetoed that bill, saying, sorry, you don't get in the way of our diplomacy, and the Saudis are allies and they're tough. Well, it didn't get any more diplomatic benefits with the Houthis. They're still radically anti-America, anti-Israel, and pro-Hamas. So after the latest war in Gaza broke out, the Houthis started using rockets and drones against ships trying to pass through the Red Sea to the Suez Canal. On November 18th, they captured a cargo vessel called the Galaxy Leader, which they've been exhibiting as a tourist attraction in Yemen. In the short run, the group has vowed to remain defiant despite U.S. strikes, and they've apparently seen an increase in support and recruitment due to enthusiasm over the war in Gaza. So why is the United States doing this? Why is this in our national security interest? Well, as we mentioned, the Houthis have been firing at shipping, and there's a lot of U.S. credibility based on the Navy acting as a security force for international trade. There might be some geopolitics we don't know about. The one idea that I came up with is maybe the Saudis are going to take Gazan refugees, and they called America. They said, we'll go take Gazan refugees if you go bomb some of our enemies in Yemen. However, it's more likely that Biden needs a distraction, that Biden needs some sort of foreign conflict to take the eyes away from his domestic failures. The most likely scenario is we get nothing for this. Saudi Arabia isn't even helping us with the airstrikes. And they're the ones who are supposed to hate the Houthis. Overall, this is another example of the world flying into pieces under the Biden regime. Even if the specific strikes were justified, they happen in the context of us getting one international crisis after another under Joe Biden, who is a failure as a president here domestically. And so taking a step back, how does Joe Biden have the power to do this? Well, technically, there is the War Powers Act, which allows you to do strikes and military operations in a very targeted manner. But you look at what's happened in Ukraine, what's happening in Israel, what's happening in the southern tip of the Arabian Peninsula. Crime, war is breaking out at every possible vector across the world. We have conflicts in Ukraine, Hamas, Hezbollah, Yemen, Iranian proxies in Iraq, and not to mention the most important, we are being illegally invaded every single day. Our cities have become war zones. Our schools are being converted into migrant illegal shelters in New York City. What is the justification for this? Well, they don't have to actually justify it. And from allegedly his hospital bed, Lloyd Austin approved these airstrikes. How is this in the best interest of American national security? And the answer is, it isn't. It helps the war profiteers. It helps the warmongers, Boeing, Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman. They all get wealthier because of this. In addition, Lady Graham is celebrating. Lady Graham is going on television. Could we get the Lady Graham tweet up? He is excited. Bomb, 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 Iran. Lady Graham is singing from the high heavens that we might finally have a war in every hemisphere. His dream of having a war in every possible continent might actually be realized. Lady Graham says, quote, I'm very supportive of the Biden administration's decision to strike Houthi rebels who have been harassing international shipping and trying to attack Israeli and American interests. It's long past time to let Iran know we'll hold them accountable for their actions or their proxies, in this case, the Houthi rebels. The only language radical Islamic groups understand is force. I hope the Biden administration understands that the deterrence policy has completely failed. They must continue using military force in the face of aggression from Iran and their proxies. 100 years ago, politicians promised a chicken in every pot and a car in every garage. Now, politicians promise troops in every country and a war on every continent. Does this make you wealthier? And it should make you so angry that the American government is willing to use force against Houthi rebels that have not impacted your communities, that have not even remotely threatened your way of life. And yet we can't secure our own border. It's perfectly acceptable to do airstrikes on the southern tip of the Arabian Peninsula. In fact, Lady Graham says, this is amazing. This is in American interests. Why don't we do airstrikes against the cartels? How about the Sinaloa cartel, which we had an amazing episode yesterday. I encourage you guys to check it out on the Charlie Kirk Show podcast page. The fentanyl coming into the country. The new sex slaves that are being trafficked into North America. Wouldn't that justify a military response? But of course not. The American national security regime does not care if the homeland is invaded. In fact, they're supportive of the Great Replacement. They're supportive of the invasion. But the big concern is that some rebel group is going after sea lanes in the Middle East. Even the lowest Mexican cartels is more worthy of our attention than the worst terror group in Yemen or Syria. And the national security regime knows what they're doing. because this actually makes the rebels' case stronger. If you want to increase the likelihood of war, this is what you do. If you want to increase their resolve, this is what they do. It's enough to provoke the rebels to increase their recruitment. They say they're going to respond. They're going to go after Western forces. Did Congress vote on this? Why is Joe Biden allowed to do this? And why is it in our national security interest while we are currently being invaded? Traditional media is crumbling. Why? Because they're hiding something, something big. People are realizing they're being lied to, left and right, even by institutions they thought they could trust. But you've known the truth all along. You also know that the time to prepare for what's coming is right now. Get started by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. There you'll save $200 on an essential 3-month emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply. Over the years, My Patriot Supply has helped millions of American families prepare for emergencies, and yours should be next. Sealed inside ultra-durable packaging, their delicious meals last up to 25 years in storage and provide over 2,000 calories daily. Eat right when things go wrong with these 3-month emergency food kits from My Patriot Supply. With $200 in savings, you can get enough for each family member. They deserve your protection. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. Order by 3 p.m. for free day shipping. That is free same-day shipping. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. So to even play devil's advocate, you might say, but shipping lanes are so important and all this. Hold on a second. Do you trust this military with your current DOD secretary who recently went under general anesthesia from a hospital bed to manage this war? Number one. Number two, have you seen any evidence that our military is ready for several conflicts? Proxy war in Ukraine against nuclear-powered Russia? Nuclear-armed Russia, I should say. What's going on with Israel and Gaza and now on the southern tip of the Arabian Peninsula? This feels like quagmire after quagmire and quagmire and quagmire. Third, spare me the lecture about shipping lanes when the thousands of miles of border of our own country are being overrun. Wouldn't it make sense to prioritize the gushing head wound over the little annoying mosquito? The Houthi rebels, at best, could be a little annoying mosquito. We have a top 5 artery wound happening on the southern border. And our leaders just don't care. It's called priorities. And finally, I've seen enough. I've been doing this for 11 years, whether it be airstrikes in Syria, whether it be airstrikes in Libya, whether it be the airstrikes in the southern tip of the Arabian Peninsula. There are only a few examples I can point to, maybe one or two out of dozens, where the desired objective was even remotely accomplished. The only one that I could point to is when Trump was in charge and we went after ISIS. I'll give you that one. I will concede that point. I will concede the ISIS point. This feels more like the Hill Dog, Gaddafi, Libya debacle. Remember that? Hillary Rodham Clinton was Secretary of State. Barack Hussein Obama was President of the United States. You had this alleged Arab Spring going all across the Middle East. And we decided, hey, let's get rid of Gaddafi. Why? Because it sounded good. Because they had it on a list for a while. We got to get rid of this guy. Was Gaddafi a good guy? No, he's a bad dude. But he had the country stable. By the way, Libya is a very, very difficult country to govern. Lots of tribes, very medieval. So we get rid of Gaddafi. How did that work out? It's still a country that is basically at civil war. Be very careful intervening into other countries' civil wars. And by the way, the Ukraine-Russian dispute feels more like a civil war than it does actually of two different powers fighting one another. The war in Iraq, which will go down as one of the worst geopolitical decisions by the American national security regime in history. We get rid of Saddam Hussein. We spend over $1 trillion, probably spent even more. We rebuild the country. And who is the check against Iran? You know who was fighting the Iranians? You know who was fighting ISIS? Saddam Hussein was fighting ISIS. And Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with 9/11. Again, Saddam Hussein was not a good guy. But be careful what you wish for. You go and you displace Saddam Hussein, you get ISIS, and now you have Iran that loved that. They were thrilled with that. Why did we ever invade Iraq? It's because we were sold lies by Condoleezza Rice, by Colin Powell, by Dick Cheney, and George W. Bush. They capitalized on the understandable bloodthirstiness thirsty attitude that we had after 9/11. We all had it, totally get it. We were attacked and they took advantage of us. Instead of Afghanistan, you could make an argument, targeted strikes, you know, forces there, not a huge ground operation, never should have happened. But we quickly went from Al-Qaeda and then to the Taliban, and then we go to invading Iraq. And what do we have to show for it? Lots of lives lost. I believe it's 18 or 23 vets that kill themselves every single day. Or is it 21? I don't want to get my numbers wrong. It's something like that. Every day. A destabilized region, a military morale that goes down, and it starts sometimes with airstrikes like this. It's 17 a day. Thank you. 17 a day. And the administrative state is laying the groundwork for a Gulf of Tonkin incident. And there is some generational disagreement here. I'm very firm on this because being 30 years old, I know nothing but a nation at war, focused on the abroad, focused on the foreign, while the domestic collapses. And I don't like the DC line. Well, you can walk and chew gum at the same time. We've proven that you actually can't. We've seen dumb war after dumb conflict and dumb war after dumb conflict. I'll concede the ISIS point under Trump. That's the only one that I'll concede. Besides that, you have Libya that was a disaster. The Syrian civil war, you still have Assad, and you got millions of Muslims now in Europe, and that whole country was completely obliterated. The Iraq war, the Afghanistan war, where has the national security regime in the last 30 years been able to point to and say, well, that was a success. That was amazing. That was a success. No, instead, they perpetually occupy. They don't win. And now they're doing airstrikes in the southern tip of the Arabian Peninsula. How about you prioritize our nation, America, not Yemen? Dark clouds are gathering as markets shudder. Stocks are sinking and currency stumbling. Fear and uncertainty reign. The Middle East, Ukraine, Taiwan, the debt, it is endless. Yet one asset historically stands firm. It is gold. In crisis after crisis, gold is there in the background. Its enduring value guards against loss, like a missile shield against incoming. If paper wealth burns, gold has shown the strength to persist. Noble Gold says to shield your savings against looming threats, war, recession, contagion, and avoid the frenzied panic of the unprepared. Noble Gold says take control in the chaos. Brave warriors say that fortune favors decisive action. Noble warns to get a hold of gold now before the price could be out of reach. Right now, Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with every new IRA. Claim your free coin today as this new storm gathers, panic looms, and some of the places you were thinking of for your money. Well, they don't look so clever anymore. We balance our asset mix to shield a future from disaster. Research opening a Noble Gold Investments IRA to claim your free bullion coin today. That's noblegoldinvestments.com now. noblegoldinvestments.com, the only gold company I could personally speak of for their service. Colin does an amazing job at noblegoldinvestments.com. I want to play a piece of tape here as we dive deeper into here. One of the things that I attempted to do in 2020 when Donald Trump was running for re-election, and again, there were so many other issues, there were so many other things that were happening, that I wish Trump would have talked more about how he was the peace president. Of all the accomplishments of the first Trump administration, the one that really silences critics is no new wars. And of all the Trump accomplishments, I think this is one of the most noteworthy because it took daily opposition to the war industry. I'm going to play this tape. This is a true story, and it was documented either by CNN or something. But there was a meeting. You could call it a trap. So Donald Trump was out campaigning or doing something for the midterms, and he kept on saying, we're getting out of Afghanistan. We're going to do it the right way. We're going to sunset this war. We're going to reduce troops. And at the time, it was Rex Tillerson. It was Mad Dog Mattis. And it was Mike Pence. And they all agreed that we must be in Afghanistan till 3,800, right? We have to be there at least for another 1,800 years, minimum. And they were really bothered that Donald Trump was reducing the troop count. So they planned a meeting, and they knew Trump was going to be coming back from campaigning on the campaign trail. So what they did is they sat in the room and they actually rehearsed how they were going to try and persuade President Trump, in fact, try to convince him to keep troops in Afghanistan. I want you to think about this. These are people that are supposed to serve at the direction of the President of the United States that are secretly and quietly using their time to meet privately to rehearse how they can try to manipulate Donald Trump to keep the war machine going. So Donald Trump comes into the meeting and he smells a rat and he says, no. Every day they would come in with his national security briefing. Well, President Trump, you got to entertain. Nope. Can't go to North Korea. No, I will. You have to bend the knee to NATO. One of the great accomplishments of President Trump's first term. You might love him. You might hate him. You might think he's despicable. You might not like the tweets. I don't care. It is a fact. Even if you are a left-wing activist and you hate war, I hope you hate war, you must acknowledge that the man that you are supposed to hate, the man that they're trying to put in jail for 700 years, was the first president in 72 years with no new wars. And maybe that's the reason. This is Tucker Carlson's theory. And I think Tucker's onto something. Tucker believes they hate Donald Trump largely because of his skepticism towards the war machine. And it's hard to disagree with that. It's hard to find any sort of something wrong with that argument. You think about it. The 2016 election was supposed to be what? It was supposed to be Jeb Bush against Hillary Clinton, who were identical on the following issues. Identical on immigration, identical on Wall Street's dominance, identical on big tech, identical on trade, identical on the FBI having unlimited power, and identical on foreign wars. And Donald Trump comes in and he's different on all those, but the war machine is the sugar high that DC enjoys. It's where both parties can agree that we must invade the world, invite the world, occupy endlessly. Play cut 95.
Remember that with phony, Russia, Russia, Russia. I mean, if you look at Ukraine, everything was phony. The FISA warrants, the lying to Congress. They had chaos. They were the ones that caused the chaos. We didn't have chaos. We got the biggest tax cuts in history, the biggest regulation cuts in history. I had no wars. I'm the only president in 72 years. I didn't have any wars.
And Biden has several. Obama campaigned on a peaceful presidency. Trump actually delivered on what Obama campaigned on. Producer Andrew will agree with this. Producer Andrew was caught up in some of the Obama furor, and that's okay. There was a lot of, by the way, I was kind of caught up in it. I was in eighth grade, so you got to cut me some slack. Suburbs of Chicago. And I would say a significant component of the energy of the Obama movement were people sick of the Iraq War. The anti-war movement was an animating force of Barack Hussein Obama's campaign in 2008. Turns out that Obama had a trigger finger that is worse than even Donald Trump. Dictator displacement in Libya, continuing what was happening in Afghanistan, known as Mr. Drone. Why? Was it because Obama was ideologically really big into nation building and war building? No. It's because Obama, and this was so, he had made all these promises. I'm going to shut down Gitmo and we're going to stop the spying on citizens. We're going to put all bills up on whitehouse.gov before we vote on it. It was all a fraud because Obama, once he became president, he learned something. Mr. Obama, you can either end up like JFK or you can end up as the most liked celebrity after 8 years and just do what you're told. And he said, okay. And the administrative state and all of these people, they said, just do what you're told. You keep the wars going. You keep the spying going. You keep the foreigners coming in. You don't close Gitmo. And just continue as we tell you. And Obama is into the celebrity. He's into the lifestyle. He's a very lazy person. It's well documented. He doesn't work hard. So Obama said, well, I'm not a revolutionary like that. I like the lifestyle. And the administrative state delighted. They said, you're trying to tell me we have a guy that talks like a revolutionary, but is actually the most establishment-type president imaginable, a guy that just wants to go to Hawaii and fly in Air Force One and sleep in till 10 or 11 a.m. and get the profiles and kind of just moderately manage the bureaucracy and do some racialized stuff on the courts, the administrative state could not believe what they received with Obama. And Obama swindled the anti-war left-wing base. He swindled. And Bernie Sanders talks a good game with anti-war stuff, but he doesn't do anything about it. And here's Donald Trump, the guy that comes from the warmongering party, the party that gave you the Iraq War, the party that gave you the Patriot Act, the party that gave you the Afghan War. And Donald Trump works his way through that primary. And Tucker Carlson made this point, but if you can get this clip, it's so unbelievable. Remember, Donald Trump didn't win Iowa in 2016, and then Trump won New Hampshire, and it was still kind of a question of what's going to happen. South Carolina defined the 2016 Republican primary, and there was this very famous debate, and we have to get it, where Donald Trump shows up on stage, and he just starts going after the Iraq War. And he goes after the Iraq War in 2016 in a state that had a disproportionate amount of veterans, and he just goes after it. And he just says, look, I got to be perfectly honest with you, that the Iraq War is a mistake and the Bushes are to blame for it. And here we go. So Donald Trump actually ended up being the peacetime president that Obama campaigned on in 2008 and 2012. And Joe Biden is continuing exactly what Obama did, because Joe Biden, they got the goods on Joe Biden. Remember this kind of like fake indictment investigation of Hunter Biden, this kid glove. It's a daily reminder, Joe Biden, do what you're told. They love Joe Biden. They got so much blackmail on this guy. They have so much dirt on this guy. They have so much nonsense. They have so much leverage on him. They just do everything he's told. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Again, he's not exactly all there, but it's enough where they have the kids involved, the whole thing. Whatever they want, he does. And Trump is different. And Trump is like a dog with a bone on the Iraq thing. He says, I don't want this. This doesn't make sense. Not in our country's national interest. And here we have Biden doing what the administrative state does best, new wars. Out of all the criticism you could launch against Trump, it's painful that he does not receive the credit for launching no new wars. That took a spine. It took a daily effort to fend off these people. Every day they're coming into his office. Mr. President, would you like to invade Venezuela? Like John Bolton, literally. John Bolton has this notebook where he says 9,000 troops to Venezuela. There were many crises, by the way, where they were trying to set the preconditions. Airstrikes to Syria, several with Iran. This wasn't simple. And Trump, time and time again, had to call in meetings to the Oval Office. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. They're coming in. And he didn't take the bait. Instead, he did the opposite. He went to North Korea. He de-escalated with Putin. I'll never forget, one of the most ridiculed moments of the Trump presidency turned out to be one of his greatest diplomatic accomplishments. It was right after the World Cup. It was in Helsinki, Finland. And it was when Donald Trump did that joint press conference with Vladimir Putin. And Angela Codavia, may he rest in peace, was one of the few people that said he was an amazing president. You remember that? Even Hannity came out and said, I don't like this press conference with Putin. Turns out that Donald Trump's willingness to engage with Putin might have prevented Putin from invading Ukraine while Trump was president. Okay, Kirk fans, I need you to stop and pay attention to this. If you deal with exhaustion, brain fog, mood swings, or food cravings, you're constantly getting sick or simply lack the zeal you used to have in life, then I have some news for you. While back, I found a liquid supplement called Strong Cell, and it changed my health in a very profound way. I take it every single day. Look, I knew I had to partner with them. I did the research, Google, and look up online what happens when you mix NADH with CoQ10 and marine collagen. It's simple. Every area of your body has cells, so if your cells are healthier, then you will also be healthier. You don't have to take my word for it. Listen to one of these testimonials. After taking Strong Cell for 6 weeks, I found improvement in many areas, less shoulder pain, improved mental clarity, increased natural energy, and so much more. I'm thankful that Charlie Kirk recommended this to his listeners. Rebecca says, I absolutely love Strong Cell. At first, I didn't think it would make much of a difference for my chronic fatigue, depression, and anxiety, but I thought I'd give it a chance. I've tried to find depression meds for 10 years, and since you used Strong Cell, I'm feeling better than I ever have on depression medication. Customer for life. Thank you, Charlie Kirk, for recommending this product. So there it is. You've heard from me directly and some of the users who have seen their lives changed by Strong Cell. I personally recommend taking it every day for at least 30 days. I take it every day before I go on the air, and it's helped me in more ways than I can even name. Each of our bodies is very different, so I would recommend you give the supplement at least 2 to 3 months to see the changes in your body. Go to StrongCell.com and learn more for yourself. That's StrongCell.com/Charlie. And don't forget to use discount code Charlie at checkout to get your special 20% discount for Kirk listeners. Or you can call 888-596-0155 to order over the phone. That is 888-596-0155. Or visit StrongCell.com/Charlie. It takes remarkable courage to stand up to the war machine, to stand up to Northrop Grumman, to stand up to Lockheed Martin, to stand up to Boeing. The defense contractors, they got everybody on the take. Literally, Nikki Haley was on the take. Here's how it works. You show up and you do a couple speeches at think tanks and you read a prepared marks. And by the way, here's how you know this. Your spidey senses should always be just kind of off. America is stronger when we stand with our allies. Red flag one. America is strong when we present and project strength abroad. Red flag two. We need to build up our military in the spirit of Ronald Reagan, because in an ever-present dangerous world, our enemies must fear us. All these kind of platitudes. All of it. And you go and you give a couple speeches at think tanks, and all of a sudden this cheap money flow starts coming in. And by cheap, meaning you don't have to really raise it. It just kind of comes in. And then they say, we must protect freedom and democracy. And it's their 1776 moment in Ukraine. And they play on all of this Americana imagery, and it's so nauseating. And Nikki Haley's been talking about this, and you hear this from many people, Chris Christie. And then all of a sudden you have Boeing and Lockheed Martin and Northrop Grumman, and then you were purchased. You were a purchased candidate. Donald Trump never did that because they underestimated him, which ended up being one of the great opportunities. Because they underestimated him, he had a moment to build support. This is one of the most courageous moments of Trump's 2016 race. And this was during the South Carolina primary, and he was booed, and he just endured it. He just plowed through it. He didn't care. I don't care if you boo me. I know I'm right. And he governed with this kind of spirit, because if John Ellis Bush would have become president, we would have had war in Ukraine and war in the Arabian Peninsula. But Trump governed with this spirit. One of the great threats on the horizon, everybody, not to mention the invasion on the southern border that Trump will get cleaned up, or the economy and all this, is that Biden is going to leave 9 or 10 different wars that Trump's going to have to figure out. 160, please.
Took him 5 days before his people told him what to say. And he ultimately said it was a mistake. The war in Iraq, we spent $2 trillion, thousands of lives. We don't even have it. Iran is taking over Iraq with the second largest oil reserves in the world. Obviously, it was a mistake.
So
George Bush made a mistake. We can make mistakes, but that one was a beauty. We should have never been in Iraq. We have destabilized the Middle East.
But you still think he should be impeached?
I think it's my turn, isn't it?
You do whatever you want. You call it whatever you want. I want to tell you, they lied.
Okay.
They said there were weapons of mass destruction. There were none, and they knew there were none. There were no weapons of mass destruction.
Okay. All right. Governor Bush.
You want to know why they want to put Donald Trump in federal prison for 700 years? You want to know why Liz Cheney won't lay off? Why Dick Cheney has all of his goons going after him? Ken Buck, who's very close to Liz Cheney, they will not forget that clip, because he exposed one of the great lies of modernity. And one of the great lies of modernity was the post-9/11 administrative state. What happened after 9/11, our reaction to 9/11, DHS, TSA, spying on American citizens, the absolute sacrificing of Fourth Amendment privileges and protections and rights. Here's John Ellis Bush's response, play cut 161.
I could care less about the insults that Donald Trump gives to me. It's blood sport for him. He enjoys it, and I'm glad he's happy about it.
I am sick and tired
of him going after my family. My dad is the greatest man alive in my mind. And while Donald Trump was building a reality TV show, my brother was building a security apparatus to keep us safe, and I'm proud of what he did. And he's had the gall to go after
the World Trade Center came
down
during your brother's reign.
My mother.
Remember that.
Hold on.
Let me finish this. had the gall to go after my mother.
That's not keeping
us safe. Look, I won the lottery.
And all the South Carolina donors that are friends with Lady Graham boo Trump, and he didn't care. The same people that are booing Trump in that clip are praising Biden. They're warmongers. They don't care if we get invaded. They don't care if there's drugs coming across the border. They don't care about fentanyl. They don't care about any of that. That clip was the beginning of the end of the neocons. I cannot emphasize the moral courage in that clip. And now Biden is just continuing it. Continuing, invade the world, invite the world, Arabian Peninsula, Gaza, Ukraine, Russia, you name it. And one man, there is one person running who disagrees with that consensus. Biden thinks that way. Nemirata thinks that way. Ron DeSantis feels that way. And that's why they want to put him in federal prison. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.